Good morning. Welcome. We're going to get started, I think, now. I am not your regular teacher for this class. Francis asked me to switch with them for this week. He is covering the middle school class, which we're doing sort of the What Is Our Church Believe new members class with the middle schoolers. So he is covering that, and I'm going to swap with him. He gave me a whole lot of info for this class, saying gave me the book that he's going through. He said one of the pages maybe talks about what you're going to talk about, and said, here's an article and two of the points, and then rehash what you did in the mini-mester a year ago. So I'm going to do a little of that and add some stuff to it, but let's get started by praying, and then we'll start the class. Lord, we thank you for the church, and we thank you for relationships with the church, for our children and for us. And we pray that you would help us to grow them, help us to be challenged to love one another well, all of those in our church, not just the ones that are like us, the ones that are the same age or in the same situations. Help us to love each other. Help us to make your bride, the church, a priority and to seek to love it well. We pray this all in your name. Amen. Great. Well, I'm going to summarize a little bit of the stuff that we did in the mini-mester in class two last time and talk about how it applies to parenting. Talk about the two misconceptions from the article that Francis sent to me. Talk about our child's relationships in the church and look at the baptism vows a little bit and how that impacts our relationships with children and children's relationships with adults in the church. And really challenge us both as parents and as members of the church and how we need to help parent children in the church. And talk about also how we as parents have relationships with the church and how that impacts it. The theme is cultivating relationships within the church. And I'll probably talk a little too fast, so I'll try to be slow, and we'll do questions at the end, I'm assuming, if we have time. One of the things we talked about in that mini-mester that we want to go over is the importance of being plugged in. And just to highlight a little bit of what we talked about in that class is, in Acts, the first church, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And it later describes that as day by day. And that's just, we don't meet daily, but church is more than downloading info once a week on Sunday morning, as important as the Sunday service is. It's not just a once-a-week thing going to church, it's being part of the church and being part of these relationships in the church. And we also talked a lot about the analogy of the body that's in 1 Corinthians, how we're all members of one body and the implications of that. One of the implications that we're needed, and we'll talk about that later. But the other one that I want to emphasize now is that church is more than just joining a club. The being a body is more than a voluntary association. A foot or a hand can't just decide to not be part of the body, or they can't just be part of the body once a week and not the rest of the time. That the church is God's bride, Christ's bride. It's something that God has created and loves. And our relationship with the church is different than any other group. Guy Prentice Waters says that the church is divinely created. She is not a mere voluntary association of persons with similar interests, backgrounds, or goals. In this respect, she's different from the Kiwanis or the Junior League. And there's implications here. We're citizens. We're joined together. We've taken vows as church members. The only analogous relationship we have is that of marriage, where we take vows and join together. Not a club or a team or a group that we're members of, but marriage is probably the closest analogy to being a member of a church. And the commitment level, then, is different. And we say this because one of the misconceptions in the article is that the family's top priority should be involvement in its children's activities. And with children, a lot of times their activities and the societal pressures to keep them in all the activities they want to be in, or sometimes even the activities they don't want to be in, is the biggest factor in us not making use of the church, not making church a priority, and not really fulfilling our membership vows. And it's ultimately harmful to our children and our ability to parent as God intends us to. Sort of repeat some of the same. The implication of what we said about marriage and the priority it gives, that sadly this doesn't show up in our lives. That this priority that we say we give church membership doesn't show up in our lives. We see this especially in the area of time and talents. We tend to fit church into our schedules. In any conflicts, church tends to lose. Maybe not always for Sunday morning, but we are not, as we said, the body of the church on Sunday morning also. And for all of these, one thing I want to emphasize is that
these things are even more important when we're parents than just members, because not only is it how we're fulfilling it, it's what we are teaching our children. Our children learn much more from our example to them than what we say. And when we're doing these things, when we're making these decisions of how we prioritize our time, how we make decisions, we need to consider what are we communicating to our children about the church by how we do that, about who God is and God's bride and what our commitment is. We treat other commitments often as more important than the church. We have a church meeting or a Sunday or a sports practice, sports game, homeschool event, board game group, going to the gym, sport to watch, hobby club meeting, kids' birthday party, band practice, homework, etc. The choice almost always is not church or the church function. And what does that say about what we're communicating about the priorities in our lives? We think about that. How we say it. We feel that we've made commitments to these other groups. We talk about that a lot. But what about our commitment to the church? Why does our commitment to being part of a sports team mean we never miss practice or a game, but being part of church doesn't mean that we don't miss things like that? And what are we saying about the value and the priority of these commitments and these organizations to our children by this? And even the time that we give. We think it would be overwhelming or sometimes talk about we can't be at church 3 or 4 times a week or 5 days a week. And to be clear, we make it a priority, a session, to not overburden our schedules with activities every night of the week in church. But when we think about that, most of us would not think of anything of having our kids join a sports team that requires practice 3 days a week or 4 days a week and games on Saturdays. That's not too big of a commitment. But, you know, going to church an extra time a week, that's a lot out of my schedule. I can't do that. And not that we always have to be making these decisions or this is hard and fast rules, but we need to be thinking about what are we saying with this? Why do we never even consider those aspects that we consider it with these activities outside of the church more than the church, that we make priorities, we make commitments a higher standard, we let the other activities come across as more important than the church. And it even can be other Christian stuff, other godly stuff, that's good stuff. Mortification of Spin, a podcast that actually Amy's on, they had a discussion, and one of the quotes stuck out to me in it, where he said, one of the disheartening things is the idea I hear that we go to this church on Sunday morning because we like the preacher preaching, but our kids go to Awana at this other church, and our teenagers go to this other church because it has a great youth program. The idea that the church is a cafeteria of various selections or a department store with various departments, and it's perfectly reasonable to take the main dish from this church and the dessert from this other church because it's about my spirituality. The point is, because all options have and that people have, and because the church in the West has been all too willing to become consumer-driven and treat people like customers. It now belongs to pastors and leaders to educate laypersons about what it means to be a member of the church, et cetera, is what they said. But I just want to highlight that point because I think that's what are we teaching our members, our children, about the church when we treat the church as it's a buffet, as it's all about us and what do we get out of it, what works for us, but this other thing doesn't work for us, so we'll go somewhere else for this, we'll go somewhere else for here. That's one of the things to consider when we're looking at what's important with the church. John Krott says, we make a commitment to this local body, and so the ministries of it need to be the priority, partly because, as it was said before, the body needs your times and talents. And we'll touch on this some later. But I don't want to rehash that whole class or go over a lot of it, and I'm sure I think that class is recorded to listen to if people have questions on it. But going to stuff at church makes an impression on our children. It builds relationships and bridges. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about building these relationships only happens when we spend time with other people at church. And it sets up patterns that continue for the children in life. I've often shared my experience where my parents, who are wonderful people, were not super strong Christians, at least when I was young. We didn't do the stuff that I'm sure you'll learn about in this class, like family devotions and prayer time at home and that type of stuff. That wasn't part of us growing up. One thing my parents did do is they made us go to everything at church. We always went. Even when I was in 8th grade and all my friends had moved to high school and I was just with my friends' younger sisters and tried to get kicked out of youth group every week, they still made me come. And it struck an important priority on me. All the other kids my age, most of them had parents who were officers in the church, elders or deacons in the church. And I look at them, a lot of them, though, they allowed their kids to make other things priorities. Homework was more a priority, or sports or other things they miss church for. We were never allowed to. And I look and I see my brothers and myself are all have made church a big priority in our lives. And a lot of my friends whose parents were officers and did other things, their kids aren't going to church anymore. And not that going to church makes us a Christian, and not that there's not examples of this being done different ways and exceptions on each side. I don't want to make it a hard, fast rule, but I think it does demonstrate something. It touches on how do we teach the priority of church to our children? How do we build up these priorities and these patterns in their lives that we hope will continue for years down the road for them when they're adults and when they have children? And that's an important thing that we need to be considering and thinking about. How do we treat church? What do we say about church with our lives and how we lead our time? I'm going to skip forward to saying one of the things, there's actually a quote in a book, in John Crott's book that I read last time, that I'm going to read again, and just thinking about how a lot of these things touch on children or affect our children. He says, in addition to damaging a church by neglect, have you considered all the ways you're hurting yourself and your family by your decision not to be a vital part of a local assembly? Let's summarize some of the negative implications of what we have discovered. For every blessing of being part of Jesus' blueprint of a good church, there's a negative consequence for neglecting his plan. It says, you are thwarting Jesus' plan, unconsciously saying your plan for your Christian life and family is superior to his. You're rejecting a chief mean he has given you for spiritual growth, therefore by negatively impacting your family. You're boycotting the place he designed for service, for your service. You're lacking a vital resource for guidance from the shepherds God has placed in your church. You are without discipline. Your church Christian life is the best for me, and that should be scary. Your spouse is being deprived of older godly examples and encouragers. Your kids are missing great opportunities for spiritual influence from like-minded believers. And you are missing out on ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and ultimately are disobeying Jesus. And that's to summarize, if we look at stuff, how many of those things affect our children? Those examples we need, and affect how we parent. We need those examples for parenting. If we're not saying that we're committed to being part of a body and being part of the discipline of the church, what does it say with how we treat discipline to the people around us? If we are not going to the places where we're called to serve, what does it say about our commitment to service and how we teach our children to serve? Those all are things too important, that foundation of parenting is in how we view the church and how we serve the local church body. So I want to transition from that a little bit. Let me get a glass of water real quick. And talk about our child's relationships in the churches. And one of the from the article on misconceptions, it says, one of the misconceptions we have is that church is for adults. And nothing could be further from the truth. One of the ways we see this is in the baptism. And when we do baptisms in the church, there's a charge a lot of times we give to the congregation. And I just want to read it because I think it's striking. It's part of our book of church order. And it's one of the things that we try to say to people in the church when we baptize the children. We give this charge to the church. It says, the pastor will say, as this child is baptized into Christ and becomes a member of the visible church, the whole congregation is obligated to love him and receive him as a member of the body of Christ. For you are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and therefore are members of one another. Christ claims this little child as his own and calls you to receive him in love and commitment. Therefore, you ought to commit yourself before God to assist this child and their parents in their Christian nurture by godly example, prayer, and encouragement in our most precious faith. One of the things we as a church are to assist children by prayer. Are we praying for children regularly? Do we just pray for the adults in our church or the people on the list? Are we praying for the children? Do we know the children in our church enough to know what to pray for them? Are we building those relationships, talking to the children to know what we should be praying? If we've committed as a body to pray for these children, we should know what's going on with these children so we can pray effectively for them. Do we encourage these children? Do we get to know them so we can encourage them? Are we an example to them? Are the children around other people in the church enough to get that example from the people in the church? Are they around people? But are we also purposely being around the children to be an example? The encouraging aspect, there's many forms to encouraging Do we talk to the kids to encourage them? Do we actually speak to them? This is children, teens, other people in the church. Are we teaching them? It's helpful for children to sit and teens to sit under teaching of other than the parents. While parents are the primary teachers, it is helpful to get other people teaching them, building up that practice in them. We should do this. We should be teachers, and we should encourage our children to see it as a blessing and see it as a blessing for our children to have other teachers, whether it be Sunday school, Wednesday night, youth group, Bible studies. That's a blessing for our children. It's helpful that. Do we interact with the kids? It's very helpful, especially as these kids get older and become teenagers, to take them out, have them over, do stuff with them. And this is for all ages, not just us with that are have parents that are teenagers hanging out with other kids' parents, teenagers, but young adults taking teens out means the world to them. I remember a page, some of the younger people who had just graduated in the church taking her out was a very big influence to her and was very helpful. But seniors, other adults, not just parenting nature, are we interacting with these kids, taking them out? Meeting is very valuable with them, and it doesn't have to be a lot. And when I was a young life leader, one of the things they said is, whatever you do, just do it with the kids. If you have to go to the laundromat, bring a kid along. If you have to run chores or errands or go shopping, bring a kid along. And there's an aspect of that, you know, picking up one of the high school kids and taking them to the grocery store as you do groceries with them can mean a lot to them. Just hanging out with them, showing that an adult invests time in them is very important. So we need to be it helps them also in their transition to being adults in the congregation. Now, there's a caution. We need to be careful not to replace the parents. We need to be cautious. We don't want to hang out with kids without the parents knowing or really getting the permission of parents to do that, in a sense. And the parents are still their primary authority. And that's really a caution, especially the younger adults are. It can be that tendency to try to almost usurp the parents' authority or be a us versus the parents type of mentality. But that's stuff we have to be wisdom. We use wisdom with, but we should be reaching out to the people in our church. And really, frankly, this applies to all ages, not just the children. We should be reaching out to the seniors in the church, to the other adults in the church, to the singles, to whoever else. Being this family, we are, you know, we're not just our family. We're our church is our family, not just our family is our family. And we need to see that and engage with the people in our church. And that's really important in these children. The church is for the children, not just for us. One of the other things, going back to the vows, is we look at the language and we say that children are members of the church. That means a lot. That means that they are part of the body, as we talked about earlier. And there's a need for all the parts of the body. The children are needed to be part of the church, and we need their gifts and their service in the church. From the membership class, you know, Tim Challies talks about how we're supposed to spur one another up and not meet together, and how we shouldn't be skipping stuff. But we are an important part of the church, that what we bring is needed by the church as a whole. And we need children's gifts and encouragement and prayer and example. Children and teens are part of the church body, and we need to be encouraging them as parents to be part of the church body. They are an encouragement to the body, whether it's seeing their joy and excitement by others, or the children, including the little ones, talking to those in the church, especially seniors. But not only seniors, and spending time with people in the church. That blesses them. Many of the people in our new members class have said how one of the draws of the church was the children, and not just the people who have children, but that's actually the biggest thing that a lot of the seniors have said when they talk about the blessing of our church, is seeing the children talking to them, and seeing the children excited. There's a blessing our children bring to the church. They are part of the church, and we need them to be part of the church. One of the one part of the book that Paige, that Francis gave me, the page in the book that says, one of the things we found to be particularly important for spiritual nurture and growth is serving together as a family. And that's very important. It helps children to be a vital part of the ministry we do, to feel that and to be that to some extent. It helps them to have firsthand example as to see us as parents and others as examples of what serving looks like. We bless those who when we serve, and seeing the children, enabling the children to bless those by serving. The book said, we don't merely want to encourage our children to read the Bible and pray. We also want to encourage them to serve as an outflow of a loving God and the local church. And we can do at least some of this together as a family. And there's great ways in our church to serve together, whether it's through the church cleanup or helping hands or being greeters or nursery or children's church, or especially doing hospitality to people in the church and your children being part of that hospitality. Having the children reach out to people in the church when you reach out, reaching out to other kids their age is a big thing that we can do and is a very important. It's something we should be encouraging our kids. Both kids and teens, we need to encourage them to be part of the church and to serve in the church. In addition, cultivating relationships for outreach and love and being outward focused is stuff that the children should be encouraged to do as well. One of the ways we can start this is even with our own family members. It can be an easy person, a grandparent or an aunt or uncle, encouraging our children to talk to them, to meet with them, to be with them, sort of builds that ability for them to be used to being around other adults. It's something we should be doing. Having them get to know neighbors and friends and reach out. It's a building those relationships, having our kids not be focused on themselves but be outwardly focused is a very important thing to do. And we need to remember, as we said before, that our family is not only our family, but church is our family, and we're called to make it a priority and have our children be part of it for their benefit and the benefit of the church at large. And now, one of the things I want to touch on is it's not just for children, but parents need the relationships in the church as well to be parents. One note of caution, the other misconception that we talked about is the family's top priority, the misconception that the family's top priority should be involvement in children's activities. It's children's activities. And I think this applies not just in the ways we talked about by missing stuff, but also how we think of church and our priority as parents. I was reading a blog the other day that's mainly officers in the church, pastors and stuff, and a new a young guy who was just found out his wife was pregnant was very excited about it, and he said he was from a broken family, and so was his wife, and they were unsure what to do as parents, and he wanted to know, what should he read, what should he learn, what should he focus on, you know, type thing. And the first answer, and the answer that was repeated over and over, was pray, read scripture, and fellowship with the saints. Those are the other stuff. People talk later about, you know, how to do correction, family devotion, some books to read, but over and over they kept on saying prayer, reading scripture, and fellowship with the saints. And I'm sure the first two are being talked about by Francis or in other parts of the class, but the third one I wanted to highlight, that fellowship with the saints, we often ignore. It's important, and this is not just fellowship with, you know, having your child fellowship with people, as we talked about, but you fellowshipping with other saints. The biggest mistake I see a lot of times that parents make is they think the most important thing is plugging the child in, often at the expense of them being plugged in. Thinking they need to go somewhere else where there's more stuff for the children or the children like better. It can be leaving a solid church to go to one where there's more children's activities or youth activities, or plugging into children's activities at a different church instead of the one they're at, sort of making that focus of what the kid wants. Thinking that if we're doing something and the kids are not having fun or not involved, it's somehow wrong or not good to do. Or thinking that kids should never be sent away or should be involved in everything we do and in every conversation and activity. This has harmful effects in several ways. It teaches kids they are the most important and that being fun is the most important thing, or their enjoyment is the most important thing. And it doesn't show a good example of the priority of the church in living out membership vows, or the priority of making sure that we're fed well. It's okay for kids to be bored. It's good for kids to have to serve by watching younger kids at times. It's good for kids to see the priority that parents make in walking with the Lord. Now, we should be reinforcing this by talking about what we did, why when we were away from them, how it benefits us, what we're learning, that type of stuff. And we can obviously go overboard, but that's rarely what I've seen the case. I see the case the other. One of the best things for your children and for you to parent well is for you to be strong in the Lord and your marriage to be strong and you are being cared for. As so many times I've seen people leaving situations where they're fed, leaving Bible studies or churches to go other places because they need stuff for their kids, and it ends up hurting them and their marriage, and it ends up hurting their kids much more than any of the activities they could find for their kids at another church. That you being strong and being right with the Lord is the best help for your kids in being a parent. And that's the thing we need to focus on and make a priority. If our priority is just everything for the kids and we neglect our spiritual nourishment, we're doing a disservice for our kids. We're not loving them well at all. Chasing perfect situations for teens or stepping back our involvement apart from them is done with great caution, should be done with great caution because it normally hurts more than it's helped. And before we end, I just want to talk about a little bit how we have stuff structured at New Hope and where there are opportunities to serve. We do have some ministries that are generally aimed at adults only, for some of the reasons we've just mentioned. The main one is growth groups, especially the prayer and share time. So much of prayer is about children that can't or at least shouldn't happen with the children there. And that's needed to have time where we're sharing and getting that encouragement. Even your struggles with children, sharing them, helps other people of younger children seeing that experience. One of the reasons why we love, even though it's hard to happen, our growth groups to be all different ages of adults, because seeing those different experiences really encourages you as a parent and helps you see what's going on in children and sort of that experience. But it's important to have that, and if children are always around, there's not that sharing. That's not their opportunity to get prayer in those situations, to share with other people who you might not be as close with one-on-one in a small group setting. It's one of the reasons why we generally have, especially at least the prayer time of growth group, as just the adults for that reason. But there's other ministries where children are in their age and they're taught by others, that children are by themselves, sort of the youth group or the study portion of Wednesday nights, or sometimes we have teen Bible studies or Sunday school and VBS. It's where the children are taught by themselves. But we have other ministries where we allow older teens to come. Men's breakfast, sometimes the older teens have come. I believe ladies' night out, women's retreats, at times the older teens can come sort of in that transition to being adults. The mini-mester is one of the things we do for Sunday school mini-mester. We have the high schoolers and some of the middle schoolers come to it to sort of start integrating them as part of the Fuller Church with adults and learning stuff together. Other stuff is great for families together, like those service ministries in particular, greeters, helping hands, cleanups, etc. But the one place I want to challenge us in is situations where we are all there, normally around other ministries. Those are the best times to start building those relationships. Stuff like growth group before or afterwards, especially if there's a meal, talking to those children in the growth group. They might not be in the study. That doesn't mean they're not always there. Reaching out, interacting with them, being purposeful in that. Fellowship meals, Wednesday night. The mealtime at Wednesday night is a great time, and fellowship meals are a great time. Sit down at tables with the teens or with the youth or the children. Reach out and talk to them. Encourage your children sometimes to not always be with their friends, but be with you and meeting other adults. That's a good thing to do at times, to build those. It's good for the kids sometimes to be by themselves, and I understand that, but reach out, interact, and encourage your kids to be interacting and talking to other people. We need to make a point to reach out. You know, before and after VBS would be another one. After church, during hospitality, there's lots of opportunities. When we have people over, friends in the church over, we should not just look at the adults, and we should not have our kids just look at the kids. We should encourage ourselves, challenge ourselves, and encourage our children to be looking at others, to be building those relationships and talking. A lot of times the opportunity to do those one-on-one times and going off by yourself times or building those relationships when they're older, the adults they might talk to in addition to you, those only happen if those conversations have happened during the time since they're a child, they're reaching out, they're talking. It's very important. It's one of the reasons why we always have Francis. Francis always teaches a high school class once every couple of years to get to know the high schoolers. We like to have different adults teach the children's classes. It's a way to get to know them. It's very important. We want our church not just to be in silos of each individual age group, but to be reaching across and getting to know people so those relationships can be built. Never underestimate, I'm going to conclude in this and then go to time for questions and stuff. Never underestimate the little things we say and do and the time that we put can have an impact on children, teens, and ourselves. You know, as I said, just those spending time with teens can be of an invaluable resource, a big impact on their lives, whether it's taking them out, doing type of things. We can really, it doesn't have to be this formal. I think sometimes we're so worried about being this formal mentor relationship or this formal setup of something that we avoid just engaging and living life with different people. I remember as a child or as a youth, little stuff is a man in our church, a wonderful man who recently passed away. He was a young truck driver, had tattoos, had a Fu Manchu, and he started volunteering at the youth group. Had no experience with kids, didn't know what he was doing, but just was willing to serve. The youth pastor asked him to, he was willing to serve. And it made an impact on me, great impact, of seeing, you know, being a Christian doesn't have to look in this cookie-cutter way. He can be a different person. It really opened my eyes, just that act of not even the conversation he had, just seeing him be part of it and be willing to do it really had an impact on me. Or I remember as a child, when I was in a, like, I think it was a Christmas play or something, the retired pastor, was there, and he was in it too, and him just joking with us about hoping it would end soon so we could go get the cookies and get the snacks afterwards. And just realizing that he was a real person, it made me, whenever he spoke, listen to what he said much more. And I sought him out, and I thought of him as a cool person just from that little experience, that little interaction with him made a big impact on my life. And that's what I encourage us to do. We should be reaching out and looking for opportunities, looking for places that we can do that, looking for areas where we can initiate times and reach these children. But as parents, we need to be encouraging our children to be available to that. Being at the fellowship meals, being at Wednesday night, being at different activities where they're around adults, having other families over, and being together for the meal altogether. Those type of things are very important for us to do. We should talk to our kids about greeting or talking to adults and not being scared for it. As I said, it can be helpful training them with other family members or close friends, but really encourage them. And as teenagers, challenging them. Sometimes teenagers just don't want to show up to anything, and I know that. That can be a challenge. But encouraging them to be around. Being at the fellowship meal, even if none of their friends are going to be there, because they can interact with the other adults at the meal. Or being at a meeting, even if it's all younger kids, because they can be they can serve and love the younger kids. And that's important for them to do as well. To not be focused on ourselves and what we get, but start training our children to be focused on others and how we can serve and care for them. Just a note, one of the things we did talk about in edification is trying to do more activities with the teens and asking different adults in the church to sort of take ownership for some activity, whether it's a hike or a laser tag or just having kids over to do something. And that's one of the ways, that's sort of a non-scary way that we can reach out to some of the teenagers. I know Dan Popper, I believe, took a bunch of the kids hiking one time. And that's an important thing. That's not hard. It's not as scary a lot of times to be around the teenagers if you're doing an activity. But those type of things matter. Going, you know, snowboarding with one of the teens, going, you know, doing those type of things. But these activities we can do, joining these activities, are very good things for us to do and can make an impact in these teens' lives. And so that's one of the things we're looking at doing, and we'll probably be announcing or talking about more later. We want to do really try to schedule some of those and have people just volunteer, even if you're not a parent of a teen. It's something that you can do and can be a service to the youth. I think that's where I'm going to end now. I know I covered a lot, and I'm sure I talked too quickly. So are there any questions or comments on anything? Karen? That's a good question. I'll talk about some of the stuff I do and some of the stuff we should do maybe also, but I think that is hard and a challenge. That is why I do think we need to see Sunday as not just a once-a-week thing. And so doing stuff like the Wednesday night study every other week is a nice time to see the other people in the church and remind ourselves. Having families in the church over and engaging in relationships with them, not just on Sunday, is a way to keep that up. The other ways is just talking to your kids, you know, following up on church. Stuff like devotions, there can be prayer time for people. Reminding people to pray for stuff. A lot of times, we might get the Wednesday announcements or the prayer requests, and we should be sharing those with our children. If we're praying for Fred Plowman when he was sick and that prayer request went, one of the things we can do is we can share it with our children. Appropriate, you know, obviously, whether the thing's appropriate, but say, this is going on. Can you be praying for this person? Or why don't we stop and pray for this person? It's good to build that up in the children of that view of praying for people when we find requests. Don't just, you know, I know that, you know, my kids don't get any of the emails, and that's fine, but it doesn't mean we can't share the stuff in the emails with our children, and that's one of the ways we can do it. Yep.
I know growing up, Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the other times, like teaching Sunday school classes with them, I know I got one of the teens taught a Sunday school or helped out when he was maybe just out of high school or something with me, and I got to know him in a way that I wouldn't have before. Even so often in nursery, we always have youth helpers and teen helpers a lot of times, and it's easy to just talk to the other adult that's in nursery with you and sort of ignore them and let them be with the kids. But it's important. We can talk to them as well and ask them about how they're doing and different stuff. And as you said that, it can almost be an informal discipleship, that getting to know people, getting to know stuff is a very important thing to do. That's very good. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Andrew. I mean, and I think, and I'll speak to that. I don't know if everyone knows, I used to work at churches as sort of a youth pastor for two different churches, and so I'm definitely familiar with that aspect of it. I think that there's not a necessarily size where it happens, and I don't think we're necessarily opposed to it out of hand at all. I think it's what are the resources in the church and where is the focus, and that's sort of true in everything that, you know, there's some churches that need to hire somebody who handles worship specifically. And our church is very gifted with lots of people gifted in worship that are doing it, that maybe that's not where our focus is when we hire, you know, when we look for an intern or if we look for an associate at some point, that's not where we focus. And sometimes it's an associate doing part of that. I think that there's a lot of different ways to do it. And I think that's something we do want to look at. I've been at churches, my church growing up, one of the things they did that was, I think, very helpful is they hired a youth staff just for the summer, you know, and that's sort of that. And when kids are free, they hired youth staff, and I mean, I loved it. My parents were very strict, and so we weren't allowed. Well, not for Billy, but for me, they were. We weren't allowed out late, or I mean, I had to be home early. But if I was with those youth leaders, I could be out as long as I wanted, and it was that's where I spent all my summer. And those things can help of building those times. I think there's always that danger, and I think Reformed churches, some of the conservative ones, almost buy into the danger a little too much, but of is it building a church within the church? That are we building the youth culture that's separate from the church at large? And that's sort of that tension there of building one that integrates. And I do think that having youth leaders but really be involved in the church. I remember the last church I was working at, one of the things I often said was, the biggest thing that would help these kids is not me hanging out with them. It's somebody discipling their parents so that they can be better at caring for their children, especially the junior hires. I was working with only junior hires at the time. And that's that tension of how do we do it integrated? And I think we want to look wholeheartedly at it. But at some point, if we keep growing, that there's obviously not a shortage of children in our church. And that's a blessing. And so that, of course, is one of the things we would be considering at some point and looking at, depending on our size and finances and all those factors. So does that answer the question? Or? Other questions or thoughts on this? Anything else before we close? Well, thank you all for listening to me talk, and you will have, I believe, Francis back next week, and I'll be back with those middle schoolers, teaching them about, I don't know what's next week, long gospel or something, or maybe that's what Francis is doing. So, but it's a joy, and I would charge all of us to not just, as parents, we need to be thinking about how to encourage our children, but as all of you all are members attend this church regularly and hopefully will become members, think about how you can plug in, not just for the youth, but for everybody in the church. How we need to be cultivating relationships. It's important as parents. It's important in the church. If we build that habit, if our kids seeing us purposely reaching out to people in different groups, it makes it more easy for them to reach out to people in different groups and just more part of the standard. If we're only hanging out with people that are exactly like us and only the certain people and that's all we talk to after church and that's all we interact with, we're sort of modeling that to our children. We want to move past that. As our church grows, which it is, it's easier in a sense to be almost cut off in your silos and to only know the people that you're in the same season of life on. And that's one thing we have to sometimes purposefully guard against and purposefully get out of our comfort zones, sit at a fellowship meal with people you don't know, you know, sit at Wednesday night and talk to people you don't know, come to events where you're around people and not just, you know, stay around the people you know. That's a big part of it. And so I would encourage you to do that. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I think we have 5 minutes before we're officially dismissed, but whatever. So, Lord, we thank you for this church, and we thank you for the opportunity to love all the children in our midst. What a blessing it is to be at a church full of children and youth, and we pray for them. We pray you would help us to parent them as a church. We pray for all the parents doing the tough job of parenting, but also as a church, we are called to love and care for them. Help us to cultivate those relationships. Help us to encourage, to pray, to be an example to them. Help us all to do that, Lord, so that we are honoring you, Lord, so that we are encouraging them to pursue you more, to love you more, and to grow towards you, Lord, and to be more like you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you all.